So we're in the grand surroundings of Bransworth Castle, and one of the volunteers from the Weir River Trust who works actually in the Gornless.
Yes, I've been wandering around in the river itself, yes, looking at various creatures that are living in the river, the algae on the stones on the bottom, the plants along the bankside, lichens growing on the trees, the mosses that grow on the trees. That's my major interest in life, apart from my two children, is the natural history of the area. I live in Bishop Auckland. I work in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. And I also do occasional freelance ecology work.
So where did the interest in the River Gornless and the Weir Rivers Trust come from initially?
Well, I first moved back into Bishop Auckland in 2012 and just started going walking down the riverbanks at Henwell. And because of my interest in natural history, I became more interested in what was actually growing in the area where I was living. So I saw actually on the web, it was just something I came across on a search, and it said the Weir Rivers Trust, the local Gornless management group they were setting up. So I thought, well, as I'm involved in looking at the place, I might as well see what's involved. And when I did get involved, I found that my interests were useful to the group, and in the activities such as taking people on walks and explaining what's growing around and getting involved with special monitoring projects, which I've been discussing with one of the members of the trust that works in the office at Whitney Weir, which many years ago used to be my home. I used to live on the nature reserve at Lower Barnes, where the Weir Rivers Trust office is. Mm-hmm. And so I've got quite a lot of connection with it, so I thought, well, I might as well be involved altogether.
Do we have any invasive species finding their way into the River Gornless at the moment?
On the banks, there's Japanese knotweed, which is, I've noticed in the cemetery at South Church, the small cemetery that's by the river, not St Andrews. And I've noticed a large patch of it there, but there was a hopeful sign. I noticed a small fungus growing on the Japanese knotweed, and the microscopic fungi are a particular interest of mine. And when I did a bit of research on it, it turns out it kills it, so it might be useful if we could spread more of it around and then not have to spend any money on poisons to get rid of it. But it needs a bit more research to find out how viable that is as an option for as well. And also the Himalayan balsam, which has what I refer to as a psychological method of seed dispersal, whereby people can't help but shake the plant as they go and watch the seeds exploding out from the pods.
But so what sort of damage does that do?
It can form a huge monoculture when it starts flowering it starts coming out vegetatively in the early part of the year. It has large cotyledons, which are the first seed leaves that come out, and so it grows in a massive patch of it, and it can't out the light for anything else that could be trying to grow through. And then as it grows, it can grow quite tall, 2 meters or more, and then it can shade out things that could be coming up below it even more then. And by spreading in such large areas as it can do, it can block out the native plants that are usually grown in the area.
Steve, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.